From Airwolf, Magnum PI, and Saint Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
You're listening to Southside Broadcasting, and it's time for another award-winning edition of On Your Bike with the one and only Tony McDonough!
Yay! Tony, we're back in the studio
we're
again.
We're back on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, exactly. So where's me lucky charms? Different line entirely. Lots of things to talk about on this latest edition of the On Your Bike podcast. Of course, we've got not one but two telephone interviews, one with a race organizer and one with a cycling writer. We've also got fantastic music as well, and we'll find out a bit about the I-Man trophy. Nothing to do with the Isle of Man, presumably.
Not as far as I'm aware, no. And whether it's something to do with the iPhone, we shall find
nice,
out.
Nice, nice, yeah. A new addition to the North East Road calendar and sponsored by Blue Milk.
Yes, indeed.
Extraordinary, presumably for blue cows. Oh, my, that's the whole routine. We'll talk about a whole heap of other things, but let's have a few moments to just sort of reflect on a fantastic evening. And, of course, you can download the podcast and still listen to it. I think it's currently number 8 in the top 10 of most downloaded podcasts.
Yes, so it's on the Manila Cycling website as well, embedded on there.
Exactly. It was a great night, really, wasn't it?
It was tremendous, yes, yeah, from start to finish, yes.
Lots of winners.
Ably hosted by a certain Alex Lefty.
I just sort of ruffled through some of the scripts, made a couple of sort of mugs to the whole thing, and hopefully, I mean, it worked well. It was really enjoyable. And, I mean, the key point, of course, from my perspective, Tony, it actually really demonstrated just how impactful Manila cycling is developing and cycling in general in this region.
Yeah, I think that night showed the breadth of abilities, ages, and people doing it for different reasons. Some people are just doing it out and out to win racing, and some just doing it because they like going on a bike and being in the great outdoors.
I was particularly pleased to obviously see the next generation represented well. I mean, you've got some real talent coming through there, actually.
So I think with a bit of media training, they'll go far. Yeah, learning how to do interviews.
Well, I mean, just the poses themselves, the striking the pose. I mean, they've clearly got that.
They've got the paparazzi element to a team, indeed.
So it's sorted. Colin Watson is going to be joining us very, very shortly, but to take us around to that, we can't resist this any longer because it's probably the most perfect tune for cycling I've ever heard. Would you like to introduce your main choice of music for this edition of On Your Bike, please?
Yes, it's actually one of the labels that sponsor the team.
Nice.
And a label from Maine, USA, called Anticode on Records.
See, they're good lobsters in Maine.
Yes, and place I've always wanted to go, actually, in Maine.
And Maine Road, of course, was a fantastic place in Manchester for a time.
Exactly. And this is it's a guy called Joseph Viterio who's behind it all. He's a sort of creative genius behind all the different monikers he puts to it. One of them is Temporary Hero, and they've collaborated with an artist called The Cautious Arc.
I was wondering why featuring The Cautious Arc was going to creep into this whole thing, because, you know, it used to be a time where popular music combos were called things like The Shadows, The Monkees,
Marmalade. Now it's featuring, yes.
Yes, featuring The Cautious Arc. Mm. It was most peculiar. But never mind, the music is fantastic. Tony, would you like to introduce it?
Yes, this is Temporary Hero featuring The Cautious Arc, and this is Buzzkill.
Feel good. You kill. suck the life right out of this place. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Ooh. Oh, every time I think I feel good,
absolutely sensational, and you could pedal away to that, Tony. I think
a nice rhythmic beat, good tune to have in your earphones. Yeah,
it's not mega sort of speedy, so kind of nice pace.
On a spring day like today, it'd be perfect. Yes.
Possibly for the Ironman Trophy, and that means we could be speaking to the organizer of a brand new 3 series race in the Northeast, the aforementioned Ironman Trophy. Who could that be, Tony?
It's not Colin Watson, is it?
The Colin Watson. Outstanding. Colin, welcome to the programme. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
Marvellous.
Thanks for the invitation to be on this as well, by the way.
It's a genuine delight. I mean, we feel that On Your Bike is a podcast that brings happiness and joy to the world one event at a time.
We've not had a complaint yet, have we?
Exactly. this particular trophy, obviously a new addition to the Northeast Road calendar. Colin, would you like to share with us how you came up with the idea and how it's developed and how you've become the organiser of this wonderful thing sponsored by Blue Milk?
Yeah, no problem at all. The idea started about 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. I was racing as a veteran, and my racing career was predominantly in the 70s and early 80s. And when I came back to racing those few years ago, what I realized was that most of the events at the time were held on closed circuits around, you know, Prissick and Hetton, which is in the Northeast. And they're pretty much criterium circuits, really. No traffic, nothing. And there was just nothing around that was on the open road. So at the time I thought it would be good if somebody put those events on. And then I retired from work in 2014 and thought, well, now's the time to do it. So I decided to use my own company as a vehicle to organize these races. And I decided to put three events on open roads under British Cycling rules, so the regional category A races for 2, 3, 4 categories. And what it is doing is really sort of bringing back some old circuits from those days gone by, which haven't really been used that much. The second Ironman Trophy event, which is on May the 22nd, is around a circuit called Ingo, and that was last used, I believe, in the Sloan Trophy, but probably famously when Bradley Wiggins won the National Road Race Championship. The finishing circuit is the circuit that we're going to use for that. So that was the idea, that's really what I came up with, and decided to take it all on myself, which I hadn't done, by the way. There's a lot of work involved in organizing 3 races, but it's gone great, and the response has been fantastic. We had 87 people enter the first one. Unfortunately, we could only take 60 of those because of safety restrictions around that circuit. Some of the roads are really narrow. And then the other two events, hopefully, will have bigger fields of 80 riders.
Sounds absolutely great. Tony, thoughts from yourself?
Firstly, hello, Colin, because it's the first time we've actually spoken to you other than over email.
It is, yes.
But I think it's commendable what you're doing, because there is a lack of road racing. The crit racing is, you can get them most weeks, most places, can't you? But yeah, the road racing, that's real cycling, really, isn't it, for the road racing guys?
Well, just to go back to when I was a lad, and I don't want to talk about when I was a lad too much, but it's worth mentioning that in the Northeast here, there was every weekend there was probably, there was at least one event on the open roads in Northumberland and Cleveland, somewhere in Durham. You know, there was always an event on, and you could ride sometimes in the summer, two or three times a week, you know, race competitively. And that bred some really, you know, fantastic riders like Joe Woff, Colin Davidson, Paul Blackett, Ray Wetherill. You know, these are guys who were, who could cut it internationally. And there was just nothing around like that. So I thought that's why, you know, I just wanted to put my money where my mouth was and get on with it and just put something on that was a little bit different, well organized, hopefully, you know, that the riders would enjoy, you know, a quality event that they would want to come back to year after year after year, that was different to a Criterium.
I think, I mean, the series helps as well, doesn't it? Like I say, that gives some, it's sort of like an overall GC feel going on over the 3 months.
It's worth mentioning, Alex, as well, that the series winner will be the guy who amasses the most points via premiums and finishing positions over the three events. Nobody's compelled to ride all three events, by the way, but obviously to win the series you would have to ride all three. And you know, obviously the BC points are on top of that as well. But really, the series winner will be a combination of all the points that you've gained through all three events, which, as you say, Tony, will encourage everybody to ride, you know, more than just one event, hopefully.
I sense a location report possibly coming on, because you mentioned, obviously, event number one using the Tranwell circuit. That's on April the 10th. The second event will be at Ingo, based around Stamfordham on May the 22nd. And there's just enough time to actually recover there until July the 3rd, where you have event number three, Rothley Crags at Middleton Village. So it's nice to see put together. Delighted to see that the courses, of course, are supported by NEG Motor Marshals, medical support, and services provided by MTS Cycle Sport as well. So, these things don't just happen. You know, you might sort of listen to this thing. It just happens.
Yeah, I think some younger riders are guilty of, they think, oh, there's not enough of this going on. And it's like, well, do you know how much organising these things take? How much red tape's involved, especially for road racing? It's not easy, and it's not cheap to put on either.
Precisely. Yeah. Now, talking about the Isle of Man Trophy, I was wondering, are we talking about the Isle of Man here? Is it something completely different? Is it? I mean, Tony suggested a phone. Why the name the Isle of Man Trophy, Colin?
So, quite simply, Alex, the Isle of Man Trophy is, well, Isle of Man Limited is my own company. So when I retired from work, I set myself up as a consultant and set myself up with a limited company. And it just seemed an easier vehicle to organize a series of races with a limited company, because I didn't want a club involved in it. I just wanted to do it myself without the bureaucracy of, you know, committees and all of that sort of thing. So I decided to use the limited company, simply as a sort of a vehicle, but it also offers a little bit more protection in terms of liability for the organizer as well. So it's a limited company, and it just made life easier. I had all of the infrastructure in place for that. You know, there's bank accounts existed, all of that sort of thing. And it was easy to set it up.
Clearly, Colin, you are the Jules Rimet of the cycling world. You know, Jules Rimet came up with that little trophy back in the last century, and now, you know, done the same thing. Wonderful. Sponsored, of course, as we mentioned, by Blue Milk. So obviously nice to mention sponsors from that perspective. Very exciting news that we can kind of just allude to as a potential news. It may happen, we don't know, he's thinking about it. There's a certain legend who's been on this very programme, Tony,
I think it's more than a might.
Was it?
He just doesn't want to say yes, but he's a long way down the road of even...
He's playing his cards close to his Sheffield United chest then, is he?
Proud day. He's not Sheffield United. He's not. Well, he says he's been a Sheffield Wednesday twice.
He's quite
neutral. Ever the diplomat he is.
Of course, Colin, we're referring to Malcolm Elliott.
Yes.
Does that send a tingle down your spine as well, Colin? Is it gay? Malcolm might be back.
Absolutely does. It certainly does. And you know, I raced with Malcolm once in the Northeast when he was 19. I think it was probably one of the first events he rode in the Northeast. And there was a race back then called the Journal 2 Day. It was a really big event sponsored by a newspaper. It doesn't exist anymore. But he rode that when he was 19 and he won it. And I remember everybody saying after the first stage, who's this guy? You know, he looks so young, and he just walked away with the first stage, and then he did it again on the second stage. So I remembered him from then, and you know, sort of come in contact with him a few times after that. And he is, not only is he a legend, he's an absolute gentleman as well. Mm. So it's an absolute privilege, you know, and I really hope he does ride the second one. I've got his entry, by the way. I hope I'm not saying too much, Tony.
But, no. Put it this way, Colin, is to say, he registered to race, and then the first thing he's gone and done is gone and got off to Mallorca training. So I think that shows what his plans probably are.
There's a message there. Fantastic stuff. Colin, it's been fantastic connecting with the good soul. How can people find out more details about the Ironman Trophy? Is there an online site that people can go to register? What are the details for that?
They can go to www.bluemilk.com/Ironman, I-M-A-N-N, and bluemilk.com/Ironman, and then they'll get all of the details of the series there. Or otherwise on BC's website as well.
And it's Bluemilk, B-L-U-M-I-L-K.
That's right.
Always important. That's right. Not from blue cows. Well, I suppose they could be. Blue goats, of course.
Could well be.
It's a blue world. Colin, fantastic touching base with a good self. We'll hopefully catch up with you maybe at the eventual launch itself. Tony, will Manila Cycling be taking part in these grand days?
We certainly are, yeah. We've got a team of, I think, about six each race, and including then there's a specific team riding with Malcolm in race two. Mm. And race three is a bit further away, but I think all the guys entering in round one are wanting to do the full series. Malcolm can't because of Tour de France commitment, but
it's just a minor thing kicking off in Middlesbrough, which I'm sure we'll be sort of having some sort of representation at. Well, they
sure
won't
will.
First. It's great stuff. Exciting. Colin, it's been fabulous touching base with a good self. We'll see you again very soon.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate elderly residential and nursing service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334 or visit our website at parkvillecarecentre.com. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Here are some handy tips and information regarding your hospital bedside TV, radio and phone service. TV channels 1 to 5 are free to use at certain times every day, so check your screen for details. To help you keep in touch with friends and loved ones, outgoing calls are also free all day, every day, to landline numbers that begin with 01, 02 or 03. Radio channels can be listened to absolutely free at any time of day. If you would like to access a paid service, such as our wide range of TV channels, Sky Sports, our great range of films, or just need a little internet access, then you'll need to buy a bundle. Buying a longer stay bundle will give you the best value for money, so try to buy a bundle to suit your maximum length of stay. If you pay for a TV service with your debit or credit card and happen to leave the hospital earlier than expected, then just contact our customer care team from your bedside phone. They may be able to downgrade your bundle to a shorter duration and give you a partial refund. To find out more about bedside entertainment services and find a bundle to suit your needs, just pick up the bedside phone and speak to the friendly Hospedia customer care team. They'll help you find the best deal. And remember, to contact Hospital Radio, just pick up the phone and dial star 800.
Excellent. Okay, On Your Bike, the podcast continues ever onwards. Colin Watson was a sensational star. But Tony, you've only gone and done it again. We've got another top soul and ace journalist and news reporter at Cycling Weekly magazine joining us now. And that might well be...
It's Mr. Chris Marshall Bell.
Chris Marshall Bell, welcome to On Your Bike. How are you, sir?
Hello there. How are you? I don't know about the ace journalist bit.
Keep it. It's a way of actually negotiating an increase and hiking your salary when you speak to the editor next. You know, it's always important.
Deal done.
Yeah. Cycling Weekly, obviously a fantastic publication. It promotes a whole range of things. And I do believe you put a piece together for Manila Cycling last year in the magazine.
Yes, we did actually, yeah. We have a club ride feature, which features in each magazine. And when this first came out in last February, I believe it was, I was on the phone to Tony straight away and saying, look, we'll get you included, which we did in July time, I believe it was. So yeah, we give a little bit of a mention to North East Cycling. And yeah, hope that went down well, but I'm sure Tony will say
it was fantastic. And we shared the cover with Mark Cavendish.
Nice.
Mark
Cavendish shared the cover.
Yes.
You've got to get the priorities right here. You know, it's critical. Chris, we've obviously been delighted to follow the progress of Manila Cycling as it's continued to develop. What are your thoughts on the whole thing as a journalist? Because sometimes, even in the world of sport, journalists can sometimes be astonishingly just a little bit cynical and sceptical about these things. So, you know, when you heard about the Manila Cycling, do you think, oh, yeah, fine, okay, let's see it go? But, I mean, yeah, we were at the awards ceremony recently. What are your thoughts in terms of how it's developing and so on?
I think it's developing very well, actually. I don't think it's a harsh thing to say that the North East is a bit of a backwater for cycling, which is a shame. But I mean, you've got to think in 2014, the top of the regional rankings. I know last year was a bit of a, you know, things went on with the change of names and stuff, but I think the North East is improving as a whole in terms of cycling. You've got to just look at the Manchester, the Middlesbrough track as well. And I think Manila is right up there with that. And I think you can only really give credit to Tony and everyone.
Yeah. Exactly. I had to ask the question because obviously Tony could have asked the question, but we would have questioned all sorts of integrity on that sort of basis, really. So, you're a cyclist yourself, Chris. So, I mean, does that help? Because sometimes I know journalists end up sort of doing stuff which they haven't had any experience of in any way, shape or form.
Yeah, I mean, cycling is such a niche sport. Even if it is going through this unbelievable boom, there's only so many people who can write about cycling. You even know it, or you've got to learn it. So knowing it from the outset helps enormously, really. But I mean, with my job, it's not just international cycling. It's pure domestic. It is covering Manila. It is covering Madison. It is covering Team Sky. It covers the whole lot, and having that cycling background certainly does help indeed.
And in terms of advice for any young reporters who are listening to us, because we often get a few folks sort of saying, oh, yes, I wish I could actually get into sports journalism, etc. Once you've actually said, no, that doesn't mean you're going to be a football commentator. There are other sports available. If we're looking at cycling, what would you say is it best to actually check out races like, you know, the Ironman Trophy Series that's coming up shortly?
Indeed it is. I mean, work for me worked out absolutely fantastically. That's how I've got this job. Just get out there, get your name out there, and yeah, just go to races and write mock reports about the Ironman, for argument's sake. Go there, write a report, even if no one else sees it apart from your eyes. It's all learning, and you're teaching yourself, and then get out and do a bit of work, exit Cycling Weekly, wherever that may be, and it can lead you on to bigger and better things, really.
And there's always, of course, the delightful blog. You can set up, it's okay. Can work in all sorts of ways. Do you have a blog yourself, Chris?
I don't know.
He's too busy, clearly.
Yes. Too busy, yes.
Exactly. You should get somebody's blog for you. That's what I think various celebrity folk actually do, allegedly. But anyway. Clearly, in a few weeks' time, yes, May the 1st launches, the Tour de France launches in Middlesbrough, Tour de Yorkshire and so on. You mentioned about the success, the boom that it's going through. It seems to be more than that. It seems to be a renaissance, a kind of a general belief that actually cycling isn't just back, it's back to stay. I mean, is that the vibe that you're getting along the tracks, Chris?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think it's no rushed statement now to say that cycling is a mainstream sport and it's one of the top two or three sports in the country. Cycling is absolutely mad, and it's not just whereas 3-4 years ago the random person on the street would know Randy Wiggins, and now I know of Chris Froome, Lizzie Armistead, Geraint Thomas. More names are coming out, getting more and more popular. And with these races, you know, the Yorkshire, potentially Yorkshire's going to host a 2019 Wales as well. It's only going to boost, and it's certainly here to stay for decades, I would certainly hope, anyway.
Tony?
Yeah, I would echo that. I think it's a... When I was sort of starting out in the 80s cycling, I knew I was in a minority sport, and it felt like a minority sport.
The lone cyclist on the bicycle,
yes,
plowing through the rain.
At times it was, yes. In that ridiculous kit that nobody knew why you wore it or anything. But I think now it's so many people have discovered it, and that's not just what we do, it's just recreational cycling as well. And I've realised that it's a good sort of non-impact sport that you can keep fit on, and you can get even just sort of cafe rides, get a good community feel going, and it's a bit like our team, a reflection of our team nationally. It's there's all levels in it, from your ultra competitive guy to somebody who wants to ride out for a quick coffee and a cake somewhere.
And Chris, we've been particularly impressed with the way that there's a massive amount of equality between the genders here. I mean, have you noticed a lot more women taking to bikes? And I mean, clearly, Victoria Pendleton's now riding horses, astonishingly. But still, exactly, it's astounding. Yeah. But from your perspective, is that something which, you think it's a wonderful sport in which you can compete? Doesn't matter what your gender happens to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've always said there's not many sports there's not many sports where men and women compete on an equal footing. Maybe tennis, but I think cycling is certainly up there, really. I think lower down the spectrum, it doesn't get as much coverage. Whether that's a good thing or bad is, you know, that's up to you to decide. But I think at the top end of cycling, it certainly gets equal coverage now. And I think even at a grassroots level, the clubs I speak to, the teams I speak to, the amount of women who've joined, quite interesting actually, in the last 12 months as opposed to 2012, 2013 after the Olympics, it seems to be in the last 12 months where there's been this huge surge. And I think that certainly speaks for itself, really. And I think that can only continue. And I think, again, you look ahead to the Olympics in August, it's not out of the question that Laura Trott could win 3 goals, which would set her up to become the all-time greatest Olympian from these shores. And if that happens, there's more and more women saying, hang on, I'll have a bit of that, please. So yes, I think it's certainly improving on the gender side of it.
Fantastic. Now, in terms of Cycling Weekly, obviously, it is, I'd say, the country's premier cycling magazine, and the magazines won't be available, but let's work on that basis. Any kind of scoops in terms of what's coming up in the next couple of weeks? What kind of working on? I mean, as you look ahead, what are the sort of key areas that you're looking to be covering?
What are we working on? No kind of scoops that we can really deliver as of yet.
No? It's all right. We kind of revealed the suggestion that Malcolm Elliott's thinking of returning to racing
indeed,
in May.
Indeed,
near it here. It's just, you know.
All quite on.
Exactly, exactly.
We'll shout about it in a month.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a work through from that point of view, but that's good stuff. But it's a never-ending. And do you still get a chance to actually cycle yourself?
Yes, I do. So I'm now relocated from the North East, and I'm back down in London now, which is a little bit different, a little bit...
Chris, you're there as a North Eastern missionary. You know, they need civilization brought to them, and we know of times past that, you know, they think south of Watford Gap that they understand. No, they need Chris Marshall Bell there to kind of keep spreading the word.
There was something on TV the other night, I think it was somebody talking about somebody from Liverpool, and they just referred to him as being from the North, as though it was just a general...
Yeah,
we're just up north somewhere.
Well, exactly. You know, it's north of precisely. I mean, it's ironic that the Northern Powerhouse, 97% of the people working on Northern Powerhouse based in London. A bit strange, really. Are we talking about Highbury and Islington here? Maybe not. Anyway, that's enough. We don't do politics.
Digress.
Exactly. We're not doing politics on your bike. And astoundingly, we've reached almost the end of another On Your Bike.
I know. Blew by again.
29 and a half minutes. Whoosh, you know, just piss through the whole thing. Chris, we've been delighted to have you on the show. Hopefully you'll be back in touch with us again very shortly.
Could I ask Chris one final question? One quick one. What would your tips be for the major races this year, Chris, on the sort of the Giro and the Tour de France?
I think the Tour is going to be absolutely fantastic. I think next week's Catalonia is a Mini 2 with the lineup of riders. I mean, there's Froome, Quintana, Contador, Fabio Aru. It's a fantastic lineup, and I think the tour with the course as well this year, I think it's got potential to be one of the best ever tours. But I'm looking forward to one a bit closer to home actually this year with Flanders, which is only in 2 weeks.
Mm.
Flanders again and Roubaix are always one of the races of the year, but Cancellara, it is last year. If he wins again, that'd be his fourth victory in Flanders, which would be a record. I just think Flanders this year has got the potential to be an all-time classic. But again, even closer to home, to Yorkshire, 3 days, it's by no means a classic race, but can only help its profile as well. But yeah, there's plenty of races to be getting excited about. But certainly in the next 2 or 3 weeks, Catalonia and Flanders, they're going to be fantastic to watch.
We will come back to you with respect to that, Chris. And as a wordsmith, clearly you'll be in pole position to also coin a catchphrase, because we've had this discussion about needing to wrap up the show with our sister podcast for Borough fans, Fly Me to the Moon. Clearly it's Come on Borough and Up the Borough. You know, 7 simple words, a lifetime of entertainment. You know, kind of worked on that basis. We haven't really got one for cyclists yet. So Chris, you know, have you any thought, because On Your Bike kind of works, keep cycling, well, it's a bit kind of wood in any case, but you know,
two words of just ride.
Nice. We might use that. In fact, we'll use that in a few seconds now. Words we can remember that, you know. Chris, it's been fantastic touching base with yourself, as we said. Thanks to Colin Watson. Tony, again, the show has shot by.
Flow
quite
by.
Literally. So there we are. And thanks, obviously, to Buzzkill with Temporary Hero featuring The Cautious Arc. Rather, the title was Buzzkill, and it's Temporary Hero featuring The Cautious Arc. It's very wonderful stuff here. Remember the catchphrase? We'll say it now to wrap up the On Your Bike podcast. A 1, a 2, a 3...
Just right.
Just right.
From Airwolf, Magnum PI, and Saint Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.